for coming out today. There might be a few chairs up front. I don't know if you've got an empty chair behind you, beside you. You might want to just put your hand up so that some of the folks in the back might be able to find a seat so that you're not standing through the whole presentation today. I was expecting more of a partisan crowd. I understand all of you might not be UCP members, and so I'll try to dial down some of the partisanship for this audience. But I have to tell you what a fantastic couple of days we both had in the riding, and what an amazing day that we had today. I saw as I was coming in that Edmonton has a billboard up there advertising that they are a festival city. I think y'all should do a billboard in Calgary and Edmonton advertising this as River City, because down south we have to portage. You probably don't even know what that means, because our rivers end up going dry in certain parts during the year. But that is one heck of a river, and congratulations to Felix and Elena, who put together an amazing riverboat business. I guess this is the second year running. If you haven't gone on it, what an incredible opportunity. You've got such an immense opportunity for tourism here, and so I was pleased to be able to take part in that today. Plus, also talk to your councils. So I understand that they have formed a task force to talk about the opportunity for nuclear in the region, and so we don't want to shy away from that. If you've got some thoughts on your mind about what you'd like me to know coming away today, any of the concerns that you might have or some of the enthusiasm you might have for it, I'd be very interested in hearing your thoughts on that. But part of the reason that I do these kinds of events is so that I can come up and show support for your great MLA, Dan Williams. He is doing a tremendous job representing you. He has, as he mentioned, quite a long distance that he has to travel, not only to represent the riding, but also to get to Edmonton and represent you there. But he also has a second role as our mental health and addictions minister. And so he travels all over the province, right from the top to the bottom, making sure that we're taking our first step into a recovery-oriented system of care, opening up facilities in order to be able to help people get their lives back, get on a pathway that will get them back to independence. And I can tell you there is much more work to do. We have a number of corrections facilities that have therapeutic living units that get inmates into addiction recovery and treatment. We've already opened up two recovery communities, and we have so much more going. He is one of the busiest ministers that we have, so give him a round of applause for all of
the work. Thank you.
Who are members, I like to use this opportunity to do a bit of an accountability session, because our members had an AGM last November where they gave us some direction on some of the policy ideas they wanted us to work on. And the way government flows is that in the spring we work on the legislation we're going to put in the fall we work on the legislation we're going to put in the spring, and so now we are about to embark on a fall session where we're going to be able to act on some of the direction that our members gave us. And I just want to let you know where we're at on a number of those things. First, let me just go dial back in history. I became leader just shy of 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago, or will be 2 years in October. And then, I campaigned during that leadership on four key areas. One was defending our province against a hostile federal government and making Alberta more independent and sovereign from Ottawa, strengthening our personal freedoms and refusing any further lockdowns or mandates, entirely overhauling Alberta's healthcare system, including dissolving the AHS Super Board and refocusing the system around patients and frontline workers. And fourth, strengthening the Alberta Advantage with lower taxes, balanced budget, shored up savings in our Heritage Fund, less red tape, and unapologetically growing our key industries like energy and forestry and agriculture and so many others. And I campaigned on those ideas in the leadership race. We were fortunate enough to win the support of the majority of Albertans as well. And so we got our second United Conservative Majority mandate based on those four priorities. So we have been working very hard on implementing them. So let me tell you about some of the things that we've done. On the first priority of standing up for Alberta and defending against Ottawa, we passed the first bill under, when I first got elected, was the Alberta Sovereignty Within a United Canada Act. Now, the Eastern media didn't like it much. They called it divisive and they called it controversial. But as Ottawa continued to roll out disastrous policy after disastrous policy targeting our key industries, I had a lot of people by January saying, when are you going to use that act? And so we did end up invoking it in the case of the net zero power regulations. I think we all know, having seen how close we've come to system failure multiple times in the last 18 months, that having an affordable grid and a reliable grid has to be the number one objective. We want to reduce emissions reasonably, sensibly, over time, but we simply can't do that on the time scale being proposed by Ottawa, so we fought back against that. What the legislation simply does is it affirms and clarifies our rights as a province under the Constitution. And managing our resources, managing our electricity grid, are rights and powers that have been granted to us by the drafters of the Constitution. So that is the reason why we're going to continue to fight on those fronts. And I'm telling you, a lot of other provincial premiers are seeing the same problem. But it is a problem particularly for us here in the West and for provinces like ours that are so reliant on resources. We are going to unfortunately find ourselves probably where we have to invoke this act again, whether it's for an emissions cap on oil and gas or an emissions cap on methane. They're talking about an emissions cap on fertilizer. And you may have seen in Denmark, they have gone one step further and put an emissions price on farting and belching cows. $100 per head of cattle is what they're charging in Denmark. And if you don't think that they aren't thinking about that in Ottawa, I can tell you they probably are, because every terrible idea they seem to want to champion in this country as well. So we're going to be fighting against those kinds of damaging and hostile policies that are targeting not only our energy sector, but also our food producers as well. And it's not just through legislation that we're pushing back. We're also pushing back through the courts. And we're kicking the stuff out of them there too. So we won on the issue of Bill C-69. You may have heard of it as the No More Pipelines Bill. I've been calling it the No More Bill Anywhere, Anytime Bill, because it was so intrusive into Alberta's jurisdiction. We managed to get our rights back to be able to approve our own projects. We also beat them on the labeling of plastics as toxic. The court at the federal level said that it was an overreach, but also unconstitutional. They appealed it, so we're going to have to keep on fighting that. But we are going to be commencing about 15 other lawsuits against the federal government to give you some idea of how many times they have been overreaching their own jurisdiction. We're hammering them on their outrageous electricity policies, their production caps, their carbon taxes, their failed drug policies, their failed bail policies, and there's so much more. And we'll continue to do so until, hopefully, we have a government that we can work with when the election takes place in 2025. We're going to fight them every single day on every single issue where they're overstepping, because we have to put Alberta and Albertans first. So second, on the issue of personal freedoms and refusing any further lockdowns or mandates on this front, we made significant progress. We got rid of mask mandates in schools. We got rid of mask mandates in health facilities. When the court struck down all of the health orders because they had not been appropriately implemented, we refunded all of the fines to everybody who had been fined under those health orders. We made sure that a health worker's vaccination status was not a barrier to them getting rehired or denying them getting their ability to get their jobs back. And we made sure that there will be no more lockdowns by amending the Public Health Act. So it's not an unelected chief medical officer of health making decisions on what happens during the next pandemic. It'll be cabinet and caucus who are making those decisions. The people who are elected are the ones who should be accountable to you when these decisions are being made. And it's not, we're stopping there when it comes to protecting freedoms. In the fall, we'll also be introducing legislation to amend Alberta's Bill of Rights. And though I can't share legislation in detail before it's been tabled, I can tell you this, the amendments will make it illegal for the government to discriminate against any individual for refusing a medical treatment, and that includes refusing to a vaccine that you don't want to take. Further, the amended Bill of Rights will strengthen property rights so that no one can have their property seized by government without full, fair, and timely compensation. And we have also we're going back to paper ballots at the municipal level, ending electronic tabulators in municipal elections, and we'll be looking at doing the same thing in federal elections as well, or in provincial elections as well. But we also have a lot more to do on this run. In the fall, we're also going to be ensuring that the rights of children are protected. They're protecting the right to be able to have children of their own one day. And we're going to ensure that gender reassignment surgeries and puberty blockers are not available to those who are minors. We're also rights to be informed are also affirmed, so that if a social transitioning happens in schools, parents will also have to be informed of those decisions. And we're going to make sure that women and girls who are born biologically female are able to compete against one another in sports, rather than having to compete against often stronger transgender women who were born biologically male. And once all this work is finished, we're going to move on to examining other ways to protect free speech and free expression, because there's a lot of hostile policy that has been passed at the federal level that we're going to have to address. Third, as you may know, we are overhauling and refocusing the health system to ensure that our healthcare system is there for you when and where you need it. We started this by dissolving the AHS Super Board, by letting go of the top layers of senior managers, bringing in an official administrator, and replacing the Chief Medical Officer of Health. Following these changes, we're already beginning to see improvements. We have seen improved ambulance response times because we now have a drop-and-go system in our big cities rather than having a lineup of ambulances that are that used to be about 20 ambulances deep. We've introduced nurse practitioners so that they can bill the province directly after setting up their own practices, encouraging them to locate in rural Alberta and be open evenings and weekends. So we have 90 nurse practitioners that are starting their practices this month, and I hope that we'll be able to see some attraction up to these communities. We're also delivering more privately delivered services through charter surgical services that are 100% government paid so that we can lessen the wait times for patients and their families. We are also working on more efficiently moving those patients who require an alternative level of care from acute care beds into appropriate beds in the community, whether it's because of homelessness, mental health, addiction, or simply because they need assisted living of some sort, so that we can make sure that our hospitals are returned to being hospitals and patients are cared for in the right place. And to that end, Dan is also going to be leading the Compassionate Intervention Act. And what this will do is it will create a pathway for mandatory treatment for those who are a danger to themselves or a danger to others due to severe addiction and mental health issues, to ensure that they receive the treatment that they need to recover and to heal their lives. I'll give you an example. Ben gave us a presentation. There was one individual that had to go to hospital 186 times last year because of overdose. That is somebody who is in such a throes of addiction, they are no longer able to make decisions for themselves. That's the type of candidate that we would be creating a process so that they can be ordered into care so that they can get their lives back. We will never adopt so-called safe supply policies like we've seen in British Columbia. We just simply don't believe there's such a thing as a safe supply of fentanyl or crystal meth or heroin. And we are going to take the approach of putting treatment and recovery first, rather than enabling drug addicts to continue to use free drugs until they are beyond all hope, or they die, or they harm others. We're just taking a different approach, and Dan is going to be the one leading that. And finally, we campaigned on strengthening the Alberta advantage with lower taxes, a balanced budget, less red tape, and growing our key industries like energy and agriculture, forestry, and in this recent region, becoming increasingly important, tourism, and many others. And on this, we've delivered. Over the past year, we have helped to create nearly 100,000 new jobs. Alberta is leading the way in private sector job creation. Our workers are earning more on average than in any other province, and we have higher workforce participation than in any other province. So that means that we've got more families earning healthy, regular paychecks that they can use to buy groceries and fill up their tanks and take their kids to hockey or save for the future. We recently balanced the budget for the third consecutive year. We paid down about $15 billion worth of debt, which has increased our credit rating, which has lowered our interest payments, which means we've got more money to direct to the priorities of Albertans. We increased the Heritage Fund to an all-time high of $22.1 billion. We're on track to have it at $25 billion by the end of this year, because we passed a law ensuring that all the interest of the Heritage Fund keeps on getting reinvested in the fund, so that we can see a line of sight, if we can keep on doing this up to 2050, growing that fund to $250 billion, so it will eliminate our reliance on resource revenues and give future generations the ability to have lower taxes. We've also delivered on our commitment to slash red tape by a third, saving Albertans, we estimate, $2.75 billion in red tape. And we announced to the world that we are not phasing out our oil and gas production. In fact, we're going to double our oil and gas production. The smart way, through technology as well as by exporting our cleaner fuels like LNG and ammonia and hydrogen to reduce the emissions of higher emitting fuels in other countries around the world. So Alberta's economy is booming, and we aren't slowing down for anyone. We're going to build new pipelines, new oil and gas facilities, petrochemical plants, hydrogen plants, and more, because Alberta is an energy superpower. We're not apologizing for it. In fact, I think the world wants and needs more Canadian energy. And as for taxes, I can tell you that we are literally working tirelessly to find any wasteful spending that we can redirect to priority areas so that we can accelerate the tax cut of $750 per individual, $1,500 per family, because we believe that Albertans need to have that tax break and that benefit. So that's my report to you on how we're fulfilling our promises so far. And this is another promise that I will make to you. I will always fight for you on these issues and many others, all the way through to the next election and beyond, because like you, I love Alberta, and I want to ensure that the Alberta advantage stays alive and well for generations to come. We are on the right path, and I truly believe that our best days are still ahead. Alberta is safer and stronger and freer, thanks to the work of the United Conservative government, and it's a victory that we can all celebrate together. And with that, I and Dan would be happy to take your questions. Thanks for coming out tonight.